Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, we welcome you and pray that you are blessed by the Spirit of the Lord. We are heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And as I was praying about what the Lord would have me share this week, my thoughts went back to messages I've preached recently on what's important to the heart of God. And, you know, so often when we hear the mention of the word prayer, we are appreciative of this tremendous privilege we have to be able to present our needs and our concerns and our burdens, not only in our own life, but for those of our loved ones, for concerns in terms of governments, the nations of the world, the leaders of the nations of the world, which we are commanded to pray for, as Paul spoke to Timothy, that we might lead peaceable and quiet and godly lives. But when we think about the privilege of prayer, so often we focus on what our needs are. And I would just like to suggest to you, I think we would bless the heart of God if we would be perhaps a little more aware of the things that are deeply concerning to Him. And how would we know what those concerns are? Well, as we read the Word of God, we understand that family is very important to God. He created man and woman, Adam and Eve, in His own image and likeness, and He was the one that originated family. He is a God of fellowship and relationship. That is why He created man, why He created the angels and the world, the fullness thereof, that to show His manifold wisdom and majesty and glory, and that He has given man, given us richly all things to enjoy. So God is a God of relationship. And what is on His heart right now? What is God doing? Well, there's many things that God is doing across the nations of the world. But if we could summarize it and make it as simple as possible, He's interested in bringing new members, if you will, into His family. And He does that by those who will respond to the gospel, repent of their sins, and be born again, believing in His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what God's doing. He's into saving souls, is He not? All right, that's His primary concern, but also following closely behind that, and extremely important, and one of the real tasks the Holy Spirit has, is that of the body of Christ, the saints, those are who are in His family, just like yourselves. I mean, if you have loved ones, if you have children, if you have brothers and sisters and in-laws and, you know, extended family, you're very concerned about them, are you not? Well, so is the Father, and He's given the Holy Spirit a task to bring us into the perfection of Christ, into the maturity of the Son of God, the stature of a perfect man, as Ephesians talks about that. And so it is very important that we understand, since God is a God of relationship, He's not only concerned about your relationship with Him, He's not only concerned about bringing the lost into a relationship with Jesus, into a relationship with Him. You know, He'll leave the 99 to go out after the one, but He's also very concerned about His body and the relationships that are in the body. And it's such a sad commentary as we look at society today that marriages, even Christian marriages, are falling apart. The divorce rate is just as high among Christians as non-Christians. What is going on? And there's no such thing as absolute truth in this world. If it feels good, do it. I mean, there's no commitment or loyalty in terms of relationships or in keeping one's word. But God wants us, because we are members of His body, to be aware of spiritual truths and principles as it relates to His heart. And that is that the body of Christ could come together in unity and in love and in sweet fellowship. And we hear this expressed. This isn't just my opinion or my thoughts on the subject. Hear what Jesus was praying in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And this was, you know, the last few hours he had with his disciples. And John records, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Jesus is praying for us, all the saints of the ages who would follow, who believed in the written word of God as it was written down and shared by those who walked with Jesus. He goes on in verse 21, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." There's very, very little unity in the world. That alone would be a sign of something supernatural, wouldn't it? People actually getting along and loving one another. Verse 22, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Ah, the glory is what connects us and joins us. "I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." And verse 26, "And I have declared unto them that thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." And so that's what I want to talk about as we go these next several days on this week's broadcast, the communion of the saints. And I don't know if that's a familiar term to you, but it is a scriptural term. And I'd like to share just a couple verses out of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 16 and 17. And of course, the context is speaking about the actual literal communion that we share, the bread and the cup of blessing. And he goes on in verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread." That's an amazing, important scripture. "We being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Praise God. And so, what does it mean, the communion of the body of Christ, the communion of the saints? Well, in order to understand it and understand why it's so important and why Jesus was stressing it and why the Word stresses it, let's do a little bit of investigation in terms of what that word in the Greek means. That Greek word is koinonia, and it comes from an adjective meaning common. And it literally means a common participation or sharing in something. Now, there are five different shades of meaning, if you will, of this word koinonia or communion. And let me share the first couple with you, because of the type of meaning that they possess. Let me read, first of all, Acts, the second chapter, and I'm going to be reading verses 42 to 47. Hold on just a second. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Praise God. And so that first meaning of the word koinonia is an expression for a community of goods, as I just shared. This is basically a socioeconomic practice that does not mean because the early church did it, because of their circumstances, that in today's world we have to do that. But why? It's important we understand why they were doing it, why the Holy Spirit blessed that for that period of time. Because it indicated and was an apparent example of that unselfish enthusiasm they had for the Lord and the things of the Lord. Secondly, they believed in the imminent return of the Lord. They expected the Lord to return very, very shortly, perhaps in their lifetime. And then, of course, a third reason and concept was for this socioeconomic practice, a community of goods, if you will, because the poorer Christians, the messianic believers, if you will, in Jerusalem were cut off from self-support because of ostracism from the synagogue. Do you realize that? You know, Paul was going with an offering to the saints in Jerusalem. Why? Because they were thrown out of the synagogue. And for that reason, that's why. Because they were no longer accepted, they were believers in Jesus. That's why they began to worship on Sunday or the Lord's Day. Remember, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, the seventh day being the perfection of God's rest. He rested from all the works of his hands, whereas the Lord's Day, the day of celebration of first fruits of his resurrection, was then the completed work. And for that reason, that's why the saints in Jerusalem were cut off from sustenance and from employment and fellowship. Well, my time has come to a close, and we've just looked at the first meaning of that word koinonia. We're going to continue tomorrow, and I hope you'll be able to join me at the same time. But another reason we're on the air is because we are also not just a broadcast ministry, but a ministry of prayer and correspondence. The word tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's what I'm here for you. The announcer will give our contact information. If you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you, I invite you to write. I love you and pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.